When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The following production is part of the We Be Geeks podcast collective.
All this has happened before.
Hey kids, Townsend Coleman here, the voice of Michelangelo from the original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Tom Kane, this is the voice of Yoda on Star Wars.
Hey yo, it's Wopat, and a big yee-haw to you all. I used to be Luke too.
Hi, my name is Oli Shoshan. I play Jedi Master Shakti.
Hi, Butch Patrick here, Eddie Munster.
Hi, this is Jim.
Hi, this is Bill Farmer. You're listening to the Neverland Podcast.
Welcome to Neverland, to Disney and beyond.
And it will all happen again.
And now your head lost boy, the Spider-Pan.
Walk on the eyes, it is Pan.
Jeremy.
Hooray for
Take your pixie out of your pockets, Neverlanders, and sprinkle some of that pixie dust around. Think that happiest thought. We're flying away to Neverland again. Hi there. So you might be new to the show, so I need to tell you who I am. Although I guess you just heard it in the intro. But I am that guy you just heard about. I'm Jeremy. You can call me the Spider-Pan. I am head lost boy around here in Neverland. And we sound a little different because, once again, we are on location. So I'm using a different microphone. I'm here with Lost Boy Phil. Hey there.
Hello.
So we've got actually a lot of things to talk about today. We're going to go visit the trailer park. And I got tons of trailers to go and hit. And we just sat and watched some trailers. Even a trailer that wasn't new, but it's to kind of help you get more knowing what's happening on one of these movies. But we got a lot of things that happened in the fandom this week, and lots of things to cover.
Spanning the Disney and geek universe to bring you the best in comics, toys, movies, and entertainment. This is news from around Neverland.
Okay, well, I'm going to... There's some bit of news that I'm going to save for discussion later. But I want to get up to some actual news. I need to kind of go almost backwards with how I've got it on the computer. But this, I found this to be pretty interesting. The headline here, this was on the Disney Parks blog, NBA will resume the 2019-2020 season at Walt Disney World Resort.
Woohoo!
Yeah, that's odd. Now, personally, I'm not a fan of NBA.
Me neither, but hey.
And it's mainly if we had a Kansas City team, I bet you I'd care.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way I am. If it's not, if I only care about my local teams, and if I don't have a horse in the race, I'm not watching the race. I don't really care. And I even, when I was at UCM, University of Central Missouri, one of my classes, we were learning to film sports. And I was there filming some basketball games, and I actually cared who won because it was my university team. Well, actually, no, I think this was a tournament, and I don't think I got to watch the UCM team play. But I would have cared who won. But I realized there are so many rules in basketball that I don't understand what's going on. And that whistle kept blowing constantly. Like, what do you do, you know?
I will say this. I really enjoy the game of basketball. Now,
I'm terrible at it.
I can't play it, but it's too fast for me. It's just too fast for me. I really enjoy watching it, but I can't keep up with it. It's too fast. You barely turn, and something's changed. But I know what you from Chicago are thinking. Oh, bull. No, I'm kidding. In reality, that's a really great sport, and it takes a lot of talent. And yeah. You got to be really with it, man.
But here's what's going on. So It says here, gameplay will resume on July 30th with 22 teams, the 8 teams in each conference with the highest current winning percentages, and the 6 teams currently within 6 games of the 8th seed in either conference competing to determine seeding for the NBA playoffs. The playoffs will feature 16 teams, and the NBA Finals will end no later than October 13th at ESPN Wide World of Sports Complex. It sounds like they're going to play all the games on resort property. Yeah. Now, it does say that July there'll be some team practices and games. They're all playing at ESPN Wide World of Sports Complex. In the arena, the HP Fieldhouse and Visa Athletic Center. Now, it says, based on current league guidelines, which were developed in consultation with public health experts and government officials, all games will be held without spectators. So, NBA's back, but you're not going to be able to get tickets to go and watch a game. But I guess, you know, it'll be back on TV, so you'll be able to watch. So, I'm sure that, you know, all you basketball fans, I got good news for you. It's back on, and it's kind of cool they're playing it all in Walt Disney World Resort. But mainly it's because ESPN, I guess. So, I guess it does save on travel and whatnot.
But I don't know why.
LeBron don't have to move anywhere. Didn't he play for Florida?
I can't help but think about the Goofy cartoons. Remember when he played?
Yes, played basketball. Yes. That's on Disney Plus. We watched it the other day. And the one guy rooting for the other team. Yay! With his little flag.
Wasn't there a short Goofy or whatever
it was? Yeah, he was a little guy waving a little flag for the opposite, like the visiting team. He went, go team! He reminded me of the little king in Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah, me too.
Hooray for the king! All right. Here's not so great news. Now, the thing is, this doesn't give a lot of detail, but I'm going to Disney Parks blog. The state of California has indicated that it's going to not issue theme park reopening guidelines until sometime after July 4th. Now, Disneyland, they were wanting to open by July, well, downtown Disney, at least July 9th, and then they were going to start soft opening, really, all the parks after that. But there's potentially going to be some delays because they need to figure out what those California guidelines are going to be in Disneyland.
Yeah, yeah.
And so they can, of course, comply. Because now, I don't want to get into the reasons why we seem to be having a resurgence, but let's just say we're having a resurgence.
Yeah.
Everyone's going to draw their own conclusion on what they think is the reason for having a resurgence. And how concerned each individual is, that is up to you. That's not what I'm here for. I'm just telling you what's happening, okay? So Disneyland is going to get a delay. I've heard something that Walt Disney World might get a delay, too, because Florida's putting some new guidelines down, and some of their bars are shutting down and now, stuff. Now, so what Disney, Walt Disney World may have some restrictions up. You have to check that yourself.
Disneyland and Disney World, do they have to go pretty much by the same rules or different ones because of different states?
Different states have different rules.
Okay.
Florida has tried to go and knuckle down, because Florida was starting to have a little bit of trouble, too. And I have heard something, somebody had posted somewhere about Walt Disney World has maybe changed a little bit, because I think Walt Disney World was starting to kind of roll back out and get a few things open, but I don't know, things may have altered over there. I didn't see anything over there, but I know Disneyland was coming up open later than Walt Disney World, and with different restrictions, but with California not going to issue until July 4th, which... Or sometime after July 4th. They're not going to release their guidelines, which... The movie Jaws comes to mind, where they, like... We can't open the beach because it's July 4th, right?
Yeah.
I sense that California is trying to be, you know, Sheriff Brody. Like, don't open it up until we know.
Yeah.
What about the holiday? I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
So, it sounds like they're kind of Marshall Brody. And, I don't know, California's got a tighter... population in Missouri, they might have a bit more risk factor of people sharing it. So
they have a whole lot of people. It's very, very
yeah. So there. You know, we'll just let them figure out what they're doing. But until Disney hears what California's restrictions are going to be like, they don't know what they're going to be able to do when reopening.
But you have to realize they have to deal with the mayor and all that. And the mayor says, "You say Barracuda, we say huh? What? You say shark? Oh, we got a panic on our hands for the 4th of July."
I knew you had to go there.
Yeah,
you had to go there.
Of course.
Didn't I see something like that? Are we like in an anniversary? Because it was 1975, wasn't
1975.
It? For Jaws? So this is what, like the 45th anniversary? No. 40, you know, well, yeah, about 45th anniversary,
yeah, yeah,
of Jaws?
Mm-hmm.
And Fourth of July coming up
here.
I happen to
Jaws is one of my all-time favorite movies. I have a lot of all-time favorites, but that's one of them.
That's definitely one of them. I'm even looking right now. He's got Funkos. He's got the shark, and he's got Brody, and he's got the captain, and he's got, not Paul Newman. Oh, wow.
Richard Dreyfuss,
another big name actor. Yeah. Which, you know what? After listening to the audiobook of the book, the movie's much better than the book.
Oh, it is. It is.
So much better.
And that's because of Steven Spielberg.
Yeah, and Richard Dreyfuss' character was a scumbag in the book.
The author.
He's terrible.
Yeah, and the author, by the way, is in the movie.
Really?
Yeah, you know the reporter?
In the town?
Yeah, you know the reporter in the movie who's sitting there talking about the sharks?
I haven't seen that movie many times. I am not a big fan of Jaws.
If you ever see the movie... I've seen it.
I even had to watch it in film appreciation.
I'm talking to the folks. You ever see the movie? There's a reporter who is filming on the beach on 4th of July, and that reporter is the author of the book. That's him.
And one really great change, spoiler warning, I guess, but goodness sakes, it's 45 years old if you haven't seen it by now. But one of the big changes in the book, the shark just suddenly succumbs to the wounds right when he's coming for Brody.
Like Moby Dick.
Yeah.
He kind of drowns.
And in the movie, it's this smile, you son of a gun. It's this great dramatic moment.
And they set it up, and Spielberg says, I want people to cheer when that shark dies. Yeah. I want him to be up. And it's a great movie. That and another, there's a lot of great things in that movie. Just great, originally,
the He's first scene. There. Sorry.
originally in that movie, the first scene, you're supposed to see the shark up and swallow the woman. You're supposed to, but they couldn't get it to happen, of course. But it ended up making all the.
Oh, it's so scary, the opening.
Yeah, and it was supposed to be all this stuff. You're supposed to see the shark and all. They couldn't. They didn't have the special effects for it. It's so much better the way it ended
up. Yeah, when you can't see that. And they had so many problems with the mechanical shark that.
And
I think, was it even. I think. Well, no, John Williams wrote the music. He said the music is the shark, but I think it might have been George that even told Steven, just film it. From the shark's perspective.
Yeah, which made it so.
Because when you don't see it, it'll be scary. Oh, so it's true.
John Williams made that film.
John Williams made it work.
With Spielberg's
help. And I've even heard like podcasts when they've kind of. There's even one called Blockbuster where they kind of retell the story of the making of Jaws and Star Wars.
Yeah.
And they got people playing the roles of George and Steven and John Williams. Because John Williams was like, okay, I've got the theme for Jaws for you. And John Williams, he's got a good sense of humor, and I guess he's done some funny stuff with Steven Spielberg before. But he goes and he plays do-do-do on a piano.
Yeah, he's like,
Steven Spielberg's like, ha, that's funny. Okay, now play the real theme. And John says, that's it. But we start slowly. And as that shark gets closer, because the music is your shark, because you said you can't see your shark.
Like a machine.
But that music will tell you that thing's coming, and you can't see it, but you know it's there, and that's scary. And that Jaws is interesting in that it's a horror movie at first, and then comes with this fun sea adventure, and then it becomes a horrific monster movie again.
Yeah, it's great.
And the
other thing is,
I'm not a fan of it, but it is a great movie.
And then at the end of the film, there's another movie of Steven Spielberg that he did before that was called Duel.
And
they used some of the same T-Rex sound effects that they didn't use in Duel, because Duel and Jaws kind of go together. I bought a DVD of yesterday, Duel.
Duel? I watched part of it. They had it on, what's the guy's name? He's got a show on Saturdays now.
Watch it together.
And he darkens his eyes, and he shows like old horror movie stuff, and he kind of jokes on him.
Sven Gulli
actually was showing, if you heard my wife in the background, she's hiding back there trying to play on her phone. Sven Gulli actually showed Duel, and I had it recorded on DVR, and I watched part of it, but I didn't get a chance to finish.
We'll have to watch it again.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's
scary there.
Great show, though.
But yeah. Okay, so now, speaking of movies, I want to move on. Mulan, the live-action Mulan, has been moved. Because they still want to put it. I was thinking they're going to end up putting it on Disney Plus, but no.
So did I.
August 21st, they're planning to release that to the theaters.
Good.
August 21st. Also coming to theaters. I don't know if I wrote this in my notes next, but I want to just throw it out there. It's not happening near us. Ghostbusters, the original Ghostbusters, they're going to put it out in theaters starting July 1st.
Mm.
If you go to ghostbusters.com/movie night, you can find out if it's playing anywhere near you, and you can order tickets. It's an event. I did not see anything near. The closest nearby to us was is it Bolivar? It's not playing anywhere in Kansas City at this point. But you can go see Ghostbusters on the big screen, because they have an official Ghostbusters YouTube channel that's putting a lot of great video. They are still trying to pump up and say, hey, yes, we do have that new Ghostbusters movie coming. Stay excited. It's coming. So speaking of going to movie to see old movies or old things here, Something else going on. We just found out. We'd already heard that they wanted to kind of reboot the Pirates of the Caribbean franchise. Mm. Basically reboot. I mean, I'm sure it sort of still fits in the same universe as the previous films. They just wanted new characters. So what they've got here, they got Margot Robbie, because she's popular to a lot of people. I haven't seen her in much, personally. But she's teaming with Christina Hodson for the new Pirates of the Caribbean movie. Christina Hodson was writer for that Birds of Prey movie, which I heard a lot of mixed reviews on that one. I'm going to say that seems probably to set a tone for what they're going for this new Pirates film. I'm going to wait until I see something because I've been burned by Pirates of the Caribbean movies for four. There was, of those other movies, I liked two of them.
Yeah, the first one was pretty good.
First one's good, and I kind of liked the other one. A lot of the other people didn't like the On Stranger Tides, yeah. But it felt a little bit like an Indiana Jones movie. What I really enjoyed about that movie is The Mermaid and the Missionary. Mm-hmm. Their story was good. I liked that.
That's the one I liked.
What I liked about it. The rest of the movies, I could really do without.
The newer one was okay. It was all right.
The newer one was trash.
Yeah.
It annoyed the heck out of me, and I was excited about it because it looked good, but then... I was so disappointed.
My least favorite had to be the third one.
That's the Stranger Tides one. No, wait.
That was the fourth one.
So it's the fifth one. The fifth one's terrible.
I'm talking
Stranger
about
Tides
the,
was...
The third one
the third
was
one,
the one with, are they,
that one was stupid, but it was kind of fun. The third one.
I just thought that they made a lot of mistakes, but that's okay. Yeah. It's
but
what it is.
Really,
the first one, though, was really good.
People have been going to those movies really for Johnny Depp.
Yeah.
I gotta say. I think that's been the big draw.
Yeah, that's been about all
so,
of that.
Now that you're taking Johnny Depp out, you're putting in Margot Robbie. Does she have the draw of Johnny Depp? I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see.
I mean, she's a very pretty actress. I've only seen her play Harley Quinn in one. I saw Suicide Squad. That's the only thing I've seen her in. And I think she made a pretty good Harley Quinn.
Yeah.
Now, this newer movie that they just did, the Birds of Prey, looked terrible.
Yeah, it's not my thing.
It didn't. Oh, well. I was kind of like, this could have been good, but it just didn't look good. After mixed reviews, I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to spend money to see this movie.
Just
it didn't
my opinion,
sound like it that good.
I almost would think this should be a straight-to-Disney thing.
Disney Plus, yeah.
And then make movies from that. See how it does.
Well, you know, it does see... On Hollywood Reporter called it a franchise reboot, but I'm sure it's still the same universe. But they are talking about Ted Elliott and Chernobyl creator Craig Mazin are somehow behind this. Will this be a good movie? We don't know.
Yeah.
I'll wait until I see something. Now, I mean, there's like a lot of mixed history on any female pirates. A lot of women pirates, even you watch the thing on the History Channel, they talk about they had to disguise as men because a lot of sailors thought having a woman on your crew was bad luck. Mm-hmm. But there are stories of some actual women pirates. But this does seem to be part of the mentality where we want to have more women characters and stuff, whether it makes sense or not.
Yep.
I will just say one word and I'm going to leave it here. Red. Disney fans will know what I'm talking about.
We want the redhead.
Well, we got something else. But I don't want to... There's been so much said on it, I'm going to leave that alone, Boy Scouts of the Caribbean. Moving on to our next thing. Hey, you know what I got a list of right here? I got all the new releases coming to Disney Plus here in July. So let's just run down this.
Well, we're almost there. We have a couple more days.
Well, heck yeah, brother. All right. But, We talked about the trailer part. We just watched the trailer, but let's just talk about this now. And I'll go ahead and let's insert the trailers now.
Mama, now the gator got in the house.
Now the gator? Give me that shovel. Come here.
Get him, Mom. Get that gator.
The Neverland Trailer Park.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show.
Father, without a father, got a lot farther by working a lot harder, by being a lot smarter, by being a self-starter, daughter.
To your union, and the hope that you provide, may
always be is Hamilton.
I, there's no way you haven't heard about this thing. I'm not going to spend thousands of dollars to go see it. I mean, it's been super expensive. This thing, the touring has been super popular. I'm kind of glad. I hear Disney Plus, they've edited it a bit. I don't care. I'll get a chance to sit and watch and see what the big deal is. And I already know I do like Lin-Manuel Miranda. I love the songs in Moana. He wrote those. I thought he was really actually good in Mary Poppins Returns. I do enjoy the actor. So, and this is something he wrote. So I don't know what to expect from this other than I don't think you're going to see any accurate history of Alexander Hamilton. I don't expect it. I won't get into why it seems kind of odd, the style of it, but I'm going to check it out. I want to see what the hype is about.
Yeah.
I'm going to try not go on, because sometimes something has hype so big that my expectations are bigger than what the movie is. Nightmare Before Christmas, I went in there higher expectations than what the movie actually is. And it took me a while to learn to be able to appreciate what it really is. And I do like the movie now, but when I first watched it, I was like, this isn't as good as everybody told me. And it took me a while. Other than the style of it was really neat, but I was like, The story, it wasn't that. But getting off track, but Nightmare Before Christmas, I actually like Sally better than Jack, because Sally's story is much better than Jack's story. Jack is kind of a villain until he realizes he's screwed up. And then we get to have Oogie Boogie, who is a great villain, too. I love Oogie Boogie. He's just nasty. Plus, I love the guy who does the voice of Oogie Boogie. He's been in a lot of other different stuff. That guy is just uber talented. He's cool. I even like him in Let's Make Music Together in All Dogs Go to Heaven. Uh-huh. He's with the big crocodile.
Yeah.
And I cannot think of that actor's name, but he's such a great list singer. He's just personality. I love that guy. So Oogie Boogie, I love Oogie Boogie. But Sally's what makes that movie for me. She's got a great story arc in Nightmare Before Christmas. Heather wants to throw something in there. I think she just looked up. Yes. I think Heather agrees with me there. Sally's better than Jack.
No.
I just looked up because you're talking.
Oh. Well, yeah. I always talk fast. You should know this. My wife is complaining that I talk fast. I know. Believe me, I slow down for y'all. I really do. But anyways, so that's when you find the heart of the story, Nightmare Before Christmas is really kind of there. And Sally is kind of a pivot point for everything. Because don't ruin Christmas is my thing, and Jack ruins Christmas, and I love Christmas.
Unintentionally.
Because he doesn't think things through.
He's a man, and like...
And most, we screw up.
with most men unintentionally, with their big, ignorant hearts, unintentionally mess up, and it takes a woman to set it straight.
Right? There we go. Yeah, it kind of does sometimes.
There you go.
Okay, but anyways.
Isn't that right?
Let me go and dive in here. This should have a more of a list. All right, so July 3rd. Animal ER?
Huh.
That might be a National Geographic series. That sounds like I've heard of that before. Because like, it's got seasons 1 and 2. The Big Green.
Is this a real, like, an actual real
place? Yeah, it's. I think it's like a documentary. I hate, like, emergency room live real stuff because they'll show too much more of a surgery than I want to see.
Yeah.
So, especially when I love animals, I don't want to see them
getting heavily cut up. Hopefully this wouldn't be that for children and all.
Well, I mean, this is just, it's good, information. You get to see stuff happens but it's an emergency room thing where people are going to bring their animals and something horrible is probably happening to that animal. My heart can't take it. I'm not watching.
Oh, yeah.
I can't do that.
Can you watch Old Yeller?
I'm not going to watch Old Yeller.
Old Yeller is a good movie.
I'm not
going to
watch
Old
Yeller.
It's a classical.
Not going to happen.
What?
He's appealing to my wife and she's not within range of the microphone now. I think she's seen it. I'm not watching it. I've heard how it ends.
I love the
Big Green, which also I think is a soccer movie. Diary of a Wimpy Kid, Roderick Rules. I haven't watched any of those movies. Maybe I should watch one.
I've seen The Big Green, yeah. Long time
ago. Oh, The Big Green. Mm-hmm. I think that's the poster where it has the one kid that's in the Sandlot and he's got a soccer ball.
The one with the red hair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Sandlot's on there, too. I need to sit and watch
that's
it. I've actually
show.
Never seen it. And everyone
really?
Tells me I should watch that.
That's a fun movie.
I've seen bits of it, and it's got that
silly... You're killing me, Smalls. You're killing me.
I've never even heard that line from anybody in the movie. I've seen the part, and it does crack me up.
It's in there.
Where the kid with the... And I've met the guy who played Specs when I was working at a T-Bones game. He was out there doing a fan
really?
Night. They did Sandlot night, and I got to talk to him.
That's a good show.
I was trying to get him onto the show, and he seemed like he thought it was a good idea, and I told him, so I've actually never seen it, but I have seen the scene where Specs fakes drowning to get the lifeguard
down. Tremendous.
I love that. That's hilarious. It's so bad.
When the movie came out, I worked with a girl who looked almost identical to her.
Oh, my my goodness.
And it was about that age. So that that was just too perfect.
That's just that scene cracks me up because he's kind of got that smile after it's all. I'm like, hey.
Yeah, look what I did.
Look what I did. It's like, oh, you rotten kid. That's funny.
You got to watch that movie.
Hamilton, we already mentioned. The Mighty Ducks. I have not seen that in years.
Oh, yeah. I remember those shows. And they had that cartoon, which was based off that.
The cartoon might be on there already. I don't know. But maybe. This is the movies.
Yeah.
Mighty Ducks.
All three of them, I believe.
Ice Age, Collision Course. I don't remember if we watched that one. Ice Age, I think really with Ice Age, you could stop with the first movie.
Yeah, I liked the first couple.
Your second one wasn't bad. I kind of like it. Yeah. Third one was okay. They went really downhill. But I love the original Ice Age. But you also get Ice Road Rescue. That I know is a National Geographic thing. Race to Witch Mountain, the 2009 version. I'd like to see the original, but I'd watch the new one with The Rock. I think I've seen part of it.
I don't know if the original one's on there, but I thought I saw it.
It might be. But is that the first one then? I guess Race to Witch Mountain. Then there's Escape from Witch Mountain. Is that the second? I think they did make two or three of the old ones, didn't they?
I haven't watched them. Maybe two, but I'm pretty sure it was two. Escape from Witch Mountain, I thought was the first one, but I could be wrong about that. I don't know.
Well, it's going to Witch Mountain is where they're trying to meet their mothership, and then Escape is something else. I don't know. I've heard podcasts try to go through the whole series and talk about it before, but I haven't watched them. Critter Fixers, Country Vet, Season 1. Gigantosaurus, Season 1. Secrets of the Zoo, Season 3. And Solo, a Star Wars Story coming. Oh, okay. I worked hard to have that own that digitally. I, for one, liked it, despite having the fire alarm pulled in the middle of when I was watching it in the theater. I enjoy Solo. I would like another Solo movie. I'd like a sequel.
Me too. I would like to see that, yeah.
Yeah. So please make another one. Okay, pre-opening report from Disneyland. I have no idea what that is, but I'll watch that one. Diary of a Wimpy Kid, The Long Haul. I have a feeling all the Diary of the Wimpy Kid movies are coming. I think I've seen that the original might be up there already. Disney Junior Music Lullabies, Lost City of Machu Picchu. That's, I think, an older movie. I'll have to look into that one. The Musketeers at Walt Disney World.
Oh, that's fun. I've seen those before.
That should be fun, yeah. Super Robot Monkey Team Hyperforce Go.
What?
I remember that was a Disney XD show. Chile, Season 1.
Wild what?
Chile. You know, Chile. The country. Chile.
Oh, okay.
Wild Congo, Season 1. Wild Sri Lanka, Season 1. You can learn a lot of stuff about the world. You can learn a lot, actually, on there. I've even been learning. I've been watching Bill Farmer has a great show, A Dog's Life.
Oh, yeah?
Where he goes all these different dogs that do all these different things and, like, rescue dogs. That was pretty neat. We were watching that one yesterday where they had rescue dogs where they learned to smell a human for when, like, an earthquake or something bad happens and people are buried in rubble, how they train dogs to find you.
That's wonderful.
Oh, it's so neat, all the different things. And we even got to watch the dogs that go that make companions for cheetahs at zoos, like the Cincinnati Zoo. Awesome. Heather really wants to go to the Cincinnati Zoo to see their cheetahs and stuff.
I've actually thought about getting a dog because dogs are pretty great. I have thought about getting a dog for me because I suffer from seizures.
Yeah. And maybe you should have one.
And I've thought about it because they actually do have specially trained dogs for such. And I've thought about it. I really do love doggies. I do.
Yeah. But if you haven't watched it, Dog's Life, it's hosted by Bill Farmer, which who doesn't love Bill Farmer anyway?
He's great, you know.
Sometimes he'll Pluto bark at a dog.
Yeah, sure.
Because he's Pluto too.
Of course.
So his goofy voice will come out and he always has fun where they say whenever they mention, well, my dog's a little goofy, he goes, imagine that. You know.
Yeah, of course.
That was my worst goofy I've ever sounded. Okay, anyways, moving along. July 31st. This is a long, long list. Alaska Animal Rescue, Animal Showdown, Best Job Ever, Big Cat Games, that might be fun, Cradle of the Gods, Destination World, Dr. Oakley of the Yukon Vet, Fearless Adventures with Jack Randall, Hidden Kingdoms of China, that sounds fun, Hunt for the Abominable Snowman, India's Wild Leopards. It seems a lot of National Geographic content.
Yeah, this is the last of July?
July 31st. Jungle Animal Rescue, Kingfishers, Lost Temple of the Inca, Marvel Funko, Seasons 1 and 2.
Oh, that sounds fun.
I don't know what that is, but I'm there.
Marvel Funko. Hey, you know how I feel
about
Funko.
An animated series that looks like Funko characters.
Hey, you know how I feel about Funko Pops. Hey.
Yeah, you got a lot of them, too.
Yeah.
Muppets Now. Hey, guess what? We got a trailer for that one, too.
Yeah, we do. Yeah.
A Disney Plus announcement with Kermit the Frog and Joe from Legal. Wait, what? Joe, we're shooting something here to help spread the word about how the Muppets are creating an incredible new show for Disney Plus.
Mm-hmm. I'm listening.
Hey, guys!
Oh, hi!
It's gonna be wild and funny.
And it's going to feature some new friends. Friends like...
No details about celebrity guests or content may be proffered at this juncture.
But, General, look, I was just going to show everyone...
Whoa, over my dead legal briefs.
You look gorgeous, by the way.
Thank you. I wasn't fishing, but I'll take it.
What can I say? The Muppets are getting together to make some fun things for Disney Plus? Is that what you want me to tell everyone?
Perfect.
What do you mean perfect?
Surviving the Mount St. Helens disaster, weirdest, bestest, truest, and what Sam sees. A lot of these I don't know what they are, but I'll, you know, this is what's coming. But Muppets Now. That trailer really doesn't seem to show exactly what's going on, and Joe from Legal, of course, wouldn't let Kermit tell us that much.
Well, you know.
I hope Joe from Legal is part of the show. I liked him.
Yeah.
He was funny.
Seemed, I bet he is.
He's got to be.
He seemed like a real fun character.
I couldn't tell if he was like a little otter or a squirrel.
He reminded me, and I could be wrong, he reminded me of one of those otters. Remember the old otter movies that you and I used to watch at Christmas, the otters?
Emmett Otter.
I'm not saying he was one of them. But he reminded me of
a little
those
bit. He's got that style.
That style.
Except he's wearing a suit and glasses.
Yeah. So he may not be, but he at least reminded me of those types of characters that you should have once in a while.
Yes, indeed.
Jim Henson is one of my all-time favorites. Speaking of Funko, I recently, more like 3 or 4 months ago, I ordered a Jim Henson Funko Pop character of Jim Henson, and he's holding a Kermit.
Oh.
And I love him. Because I love Jim Henson.
Yeah.
And I just love him. He's one of my favorites of all time. As a kid, I used to draw all different people that I always wanted to emulate and imitate and that I always respected greatly. Walt Disney was one. Jim Henson was one. I love him very much.
And Stan Lee.
Oh, Stan Lee was another one.
Walt Disney, Jim Henson, Stan Lee. Those were the three guys.
There were a couple others. And when it comes to those things, not that he's even close to these guys, but as far as the wrestling thing, I used to think that Vince McMahon was one as well. But not like those men.
Yeah.
Not like Dr. Seuss was one who, you know, in that sense. I have to say that
I don't know if I'd hold him up in the same esteem.
No, not the same esteem because they didn't do as much.
I do love some Dr. Seuss.
But he had his own style.
Yeah,
and
he did.
He was also, I mean, I don't know if you all know this, he was also a used to do political comic strips.
Yeah.
And
I think he did some satire, didn't he?
He did. I have the books on that.
Oh, wow.
That he did during World War II. That's what he did.
Yeah.
Also, I loved Mr. Rogers, who I thought
did
a lot of great things. Oh, boy, what a good guy.
Little Mr. Rogers. But yeah, we're getting off track on a bunch of people, but that's okay. It's time to turn a little bit of corner, and there was a news story that broke that we want to be able to talk about.
To Disney and beyond.
All right, so our main topic, really, today. Now, I want to open this up by reading. Now, this was very interesting that Jim Corcus put this article out on Mouse Planet before the announcement happened, because there were some rumor things going around of people trying to start a petition and that kind of thing. Now, Jim Corcus, he said, when I asked him, I said, hey, can I just read this article? Because apparently he's been super busy. When people were talking about this, everybody wanted to get Jim Corcus's opinion, and all these podcasts were contacted. And I just emailed him and said, hey, can I just read this article? I think it's a good article. And he says, make sure when you read the article, tell everybody, if they go to Amazon, find his book, Who's Afraid of Song of the South by Jim Corcus. I think I would like to buy it. That book. I've got at least one of his books. I need to get more. He's good old Jim. Now some people try to criticize. They claim he's plagiarized some stuff. That's a whole other issue. I'm not even in touch. Jim is a good guy. He's so full of information. I don't know if I should mention everything, but he's got some manuscripts that are kind of on hold because of the COVID thing, so that we do expect some more books, and I'm hoping we get them out, because he's got something he's aiming to come out for Halloween. If everything comes out and that book gets published by then, I want to have him come to talk about that book. But yeah, good old Jim, go buy his books. Go to Amazon, go buy his books, or go to Theme Park Press, I think, even some of his. That way he gets the money directly, because if you buy a used copy, you know, it doesn't go directly to him. But let's keep Jim going and writing, because I think he writes great books. He's a flood of information. I love talking to him. I have him on. Heck, when I have him on, I don't even have to talk. I just sit back and I learn things from Jim. But let me go ahead and read this article here that he wrote. I'm going to move the microphone over here. because I've got to turn my head to read this. It says, this, of course, it's writing in Jim's voice. I got blindsided last week when suddenly got requests from podcasters, websites, and local reporters to comment on the initiative to retheme the Disney theme park attraction Splash Mountain that was inspired by the movie Song of the South to the Disney animated feature The Princess and the Frog. I assume I was contacted because I wrote the book Who's Afraid of the Song of the South and have previously talked about the film at events. Song of the South has always been a controversial Disney film, which is why the company voluntarily pulled it from theatrical distribution in 1986 and has never released it on any version of home media, at least not here in the States. As a result, many misunderstandings about the movie and its content have been generated over the decades since people have had difficulty seeing it and must rely on false representations from others. Filmmaker Spike Lee considers the film racist, but admitted to Disney legend Floyd Norman he had never seen it when he made that decision. Sliding down here. Okay. It is important to remember that Walt Disney considered the film as much a fantasy as his other previous films and not a documentary. His intent was to share American folklore rather than once again utilizing European fairy tales. Certainly the tales of Uncle Remus are very important to the history of Black America in terms of providing hope and joy for downtrodden people. However, the point is that no matter how someone feels about the film, it doesn't have much to do with Splash Mountain. CEO Michael Eisner insisted that there be no reference to Uncle Remus or any human beings at all for that matter. The problematic scene from the film where Br'er Rabbit is trapped by tar was transformed in the attraction to him being trapped in honey. Basically, few, if any, guests who ride the attraction know much about any connection to the film, except vaguely, and in addition, none of the problematic aspects of the film are depicted in the attraction at all. Changing an attraction is not as easy as it seems. Even making minor adjustments to an attraction requires time and money. The Walt Disney Company might decide that the time and money would be better spent on something else, especially with the business losses as a result of the pandemic and the challenges with now handling seating on the ride for social distancing. Shifting Splash Mountain to a Princess and the Frog from 2009 theme causes some concerns as well, not the least of which is that the film was not as financially popular as other recent films like Frozen from 2013, so it might not attract a larger audience. Transforming Maelstrom at Epcot into a Frozen attraction and Twilight Zone Tower of Terror at Disney California Adventure Park into a Guardians of the Galaxy attraction were done to take advantage of more popular recent intellectual properties and ones that were sparking sequels and demands for merchandise. Those factors made an investment of time and money a good business decision because it would generate more attendance and income. The Princess and the Frog seemed to delicately sidestep the issues of racial inequalities during the time period that it was depicted. Tiana is rejected for a loan for her restaurant, probably more because she is a woman and single, challenges that other Disney princesses faced, rather than that she is African American. Are Dr. Facilier, Mama Odie, and the concept of voodoo itself racist stereotypes? Is the LaBeouf family an example of white privilege, and are they ridiculed by their comedic portrayals in the film for it? In addition, 1920s New Orleans was more urban and fancy than the rural backwoods look of Song of the South that is depicted in the overall design of the Splash Mountain attraction, so that would entail a significant overhaul. The delightful characters in the attraction would seem out of sync with the Princess and the Frog, so they would not be able to be reused effectively, so that would increase the cost. Shifting Splash Mountain to the Princess and the Frog opens up a Pandora's box of possible questions and problems without significantly enhancing the enjoyment for guests. Splash Mountain opened at Disneyland on July 17, 1989, and 3 years later, on July 17, 1992, at Walt Disney World's Magic Kingdom. Officially, the attraction was not dedicated at Magic Kingdom until October 2, 1992, but was up and running in a soft opening for roughly over 2 months during the summer. And I'm going to pause back there to mention, did you see Ernest ride Splash Mountain? Their way to kick it off at Disneyland.
Yeah.
Love it, love it. I think we've even played a lot of some of the audio on the show.
I love that one.
But yeah, that was such Ernest. A great launch. Yes. Gotta Battle of Ernest.
I can't think of Splash Mountain without thinking of Ernest.
I can't either. Not anymore. Not that I watched that one. You know what I mean?
I watched it when it was on the very first night.
Oh,
I
wow.
recorded it to my father, and I watched it like over and over.
Oh, goodness. It's on YouTube. Yeah. I've watched it a few times. Anyway, okay, so strong business reasons motivated the creation of Splash Mountain. First, Bear Country, a honey of a place in 72 at Disneyland, was suffering. Even though it had the popular WDW attraction, Country Bear Jamboree, that show was the only thing to draw guests to that area. There were a handful of other items in the area, like a restaurant, a small arcade, two merchandise shops, the Mike Fink keelboats, and the Davy Crockett Explorer canoes, but those were not enough to attract guests away from other fun-packed lands. Bear Country was a dead end. Guests had to enter and exit through the same pathway. There was no other option than being stuck in that horseshoe bend of the Rivers of America. Even on a busy day at Disneyland, as little as 2% of the daily guests ventured into the area, and it desperately needed at least one other big attraction. Second, Executive Vice President, basically head of Disney Parks and Resorts, Dick Nunes, had long been lobbying for a water flume ride. Six Flags Over Texas got a log ride in 1963 from Arrow Development, who had created many of the Disneyland rides like the Matterhorn bobsleds, and it was instantly popular. The Calico log ride... Whoops, I went too far. Sorry, pausing on the looking. Okay, there you go. The Calico log ride later... Whoa, what just happened? Crazy computer. All right, so we're talking about the Calico log ride, which I think is the one they're just talking about in Texas. Let me... Wow, okay. It accidentally scanned me all the way down. Okay, there we go. All right, laptop, and I'm using my finger on the thing, and so... All right, but let me continue reading, sorry. The Calico Log Ride, later renamed Timber Mountain Log Ride, at nearby Knott's Berry Farm, was designed by Bud Hurlbut, and was a themed experience to capture some authentic aspects of the California logging experience. It opened July 11th, 1969, with actor John Wayne taking the first ride with one of his sons, and it was a huge hit that remained so for decades. Young Tony Baxter skipped school to be there on opening day and to check out how the ride worked, like how the logs were pulled up an incline without chains. However, the more Nunes argued that other parks had long flume rides, and the more the Imagineers argued back that it was the very reason that Disneyland shouldn't have one, because Disneyland was different. Third, the Tomorrowland's attraction, America Sings, had opened June 29th, 1974, with much hoopla to take advantage of the upcoming bicentennial celebrations. Utilizing the Carousel of Progress stage, an audio animatronics eagle and owl took guests on a tribute journey through the Great American Songbook, as performed by a large cast of audio animatronic animals. I wish I could have seen that. I've gotten to hear the audio.
Yeah,
it sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And it's got Burl Ives in there.
You know how I love Burl Ives.
Yeah.
His voice, he's such character.
Yes, indeed.
He is loved, bro.
Yeah.
I've seen bits and pieces. I saw a video of it.
Yeah, I think I've seen some video.
Yeah, on YouTube. And it was, I loved it.
And, they can't get good quality video because it was 1970s.
Yeah.
So it's,
it was 76 because it was the bicentennial year.
Oh, yeah.
It was the year I was born.
Because they had it out right in time for it.
Yeah.
Cool.
Mickey and all, it was great.
Yeah. We'll get into why that's important.
As a kid, I remember seeing pictures because we had all the records and all of different things, and that was on there, parts of it. And I remembered as a kid seeing the animatronics of Mickey and Goofy and others. And I remember thinking, well, I love the way Mickey looks. I love the way they all look. And why don't they have Mickey and them in rides like this? Because it just looks so great. And I've always thought that would be the perfect ride to have a Mickey world, in a ride like that. It was before they had
it. It happens now.
Now
we got that one.
But it took them a while to do it. And I kept
and they had to take out the Great Movie Ride to do it.
and I haven't got to see that yet. But it just took them a long time. And it's so great that they finally have done that.
Yeah.
I don't think they should have necessarily taken that out to do it. They could have put it somewhere else. But still, the point is that...
it looks really neat. I want to ride it.
There's so much that... It's a shame it's taken us all to figure that out, that Mickey is one of the biggest stars ever. I mean,
truly.
Age doesn't take him on.
Truly. All right, so I got to figure out where I left off now. However, a decade after opening, the show has significantly decreased attendance and had seemed to have outlived its original focus, as well as sparking questions about how it themed into a Tomorrowland environment. That's a good question, I guess. The Walt Disney Company planned to close the attraction, which it finally did on April 1988, and install something else. All the charming America Sings audio animatronic characters would be stripped and cannibalized for parts, because nothing gets wasted. We know that. Not even an idea.
That's right.
Sitting on the Santa Ana Freeway, Interstate 5, trapped in the Southern California commuter rush, Imagineer Tony Baxter was hit with the inspiration for a new Disneyland attraction, wrote Imagineer Bruce Gordon, who was a show producer on the Splash Mountain attraction. With the Anaheim Hills as a backdrop as he impatiently waited in traffic, supposedly Baxter had an epiphany that Disney could design a traditional e-ticket attraction that would be a mountain log ride and repurpose and save America Sings Audio Animatronics to tell the story of the Disney animated feature Song of the South from 1946. It would solve all three challenges. Okay, I need to scroll down again. I'm going to not mess up this time. He rushed into Imagineering and enthusiastically convinced his fellow Imagineers that that is the legend and it is a great story. He's got this is in quotes here, by the way. Since you're not being able to see what I'm reading, I just want to make sure it makes sense to you. Okay, I can't say I actually thought of Splash Mountain on the freeway, said Baxter to interviews in recent years, but I did ponder it. I can't do a good Tony Baxter voice, I'm sorry. But I did ponder it on more than a couple of rides to and from work. I would say that I definitely had time to think about it while sitting in traffic. I don't know. Tony Baxter's got kind of a fun, neat voice. I can't do it. Sorry.
I thought you were trying to do George W. Bush or something. Or George Bush, I mean. Not George W. George Bush or something.
You heard it here, folks. Tony Baxter sounds like George W. Bush.
Not George W. George Bush.
Oh, the original? All right. So when Baxter did finally formulate the idea in the summer of 1983, he did excitedly propose it at Imagineering as soon as he got into work. Now, that's interesting. I'm a little confused on some of the years because we talk about stripping it down in like 88, I thought. Let me back up. I might have misread something. Yeah, I guess they closed the attraction in 88, but I guess maybe he had the idea. So they were probably talking about repurposing after 76 anyway, I guess. Yeah. So he had the idea, hey, why don't we do this in 83? So Tony came up with the idea and suggested it that morning after being trapped in traffic and by the end of the first day, and we knew that the show was going to be, stated Gordon. That's the fabulous part of the attraction. We heard the idea and it just clicked. It was natural. Show designer John D. Stone came up with a storyboard that showed what the attraction would look like, and Splash Mountain was on its way. Imagineer Mark Davis had animated on the film The Song of the South, and his designs of the animal characters in American Sings were reminiscent of that same style, as was soon discovered when the Imagineering Information Resource Center was raided for model sheets from the original film. The Imagineers watched the film several times to get a sense of the story, the colors, and the characters. The three of us, Tony, Bruce Gordon, and myself, literally spent the next 3 days in Tony's office preparing about 30 storyboards and outlining the entire project, recalled Stone in a 1989 interview. I don't know what Mr. Stone sounds like, so I just threw a voice so you knew it was somebody talking and not Jim Corcus's voice of narration. I'm trying, folks. This is a longer article than I remembered. All right, so the character sketches were pinned up on the wall next to a list of scenes from the film, each of which would be transformed into a scene on the ride. The characters were divided up by type, happy, lazy, silly, then matched with the scene where they fit best, wrote Bruce Gordon in Disneyland The Nickel Tour, 1995. When they discovered that they had leftover audio animatronics, they were incorporated into a big showboat finale. And I love that finale. It's really fun. I really like though when they get to the fishing hole and how that's where like you can see those America Sings characters, all the different animals out there fishing and stuff. It's just great fun. They really fit in. It's so much fun.
One thing I like too that they did for any of you who know the movie A Song of the South, there's a part where they have a frog in that movie, an animated frog, who is dressed similarly to Uncle Remus. He's similar, very similar to him in his dress, and also, and I'm talking about the way he's dressed, and the fact that his style of talking and all is very similar to Uncle Remus. So, in the ride, when you're waiting, you see that frog, or at least the shadow of the frog, sitting there talking in a rocking chair, like you see Uncle Remus's shadow in the film. The cool thing is obviously you can't have Uncle Remus on that ride. You can't do it. So they put the frog in Uncle Remus's stay, in his place, which I think is very smart.
Yeah.
Because obviously you can't, have humans.
Yeah, right? Money the humans.
And also you can't have Uncle Remus because that would seem, you know, that's obviously, it could seem racist, even though it's not, but people think of it that way. So anyway.
Yeah, I'm going to skip down because he gives I will link this article up on our website, NeverlandPodcast.com, because he basically gives every little detail about Splash Mountain.
Yeah.
And I want to be able to move on and have some discussion. We're running out of time. But I do want to say, you know, the dedication took place at approximately 10:30 a.m. with actor Jim Varney, Ernest, and 12 celebrity children, along with Br'er Rabbit, Br'er Fox, and Mickey Mouse, turning on a big water pump to fill the ride and create a splash.
I remember that.
The ceremony took about 15 minutes. The attraction is at three Disney theme parks, Disneyland, Walt Disney World, and Tokyo Disneyland. There are some slight differences between all three in terms of duration, length of flume, and number of drops, although all three feature the same scenes in a fairly identical layout.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to just go to the very end. He says at the end, wrapping a lot of this up, so the question is whether changing the theme of the attraction to The Princess and the Frog is a wise decision financially and emotionally given the exorbitant expenditure of time and money it would entail. Now, here's what my thought. I think for Princess and the Frog, what would best fit the film is a restaurant. Make Tiana's Palace, deck it up in 1920s New Orleans style, get you some jazz bands playing, some Cajun food. That would fit the theme of the movie. Have Tiana's restaurant. Have characters.
Have her there.
An animatronic Louie, maybe, could be up there, be, you know, pretending to be playing with a jazz band.
Have it, you know, even, of course, I wouldn't suggest.
Prince Naveen,
I wouldn't suggest that you have I was getting ready to say, you know, I don't know if anyone's ever been to the, what do you call it, Crystal Palace with Winnie the Pooh characters walking around. That's great.
I haven't been there myself.
But it's pretty great. You have Winnie the Pooh characters walking around. Winnie the Pooh, Tigger, Eeyore. And Piglet. Problem is, you couldn't necessarily do that with Louie because it's such a big character.
Yeah,
that you couldn't. I don't think.
An animatronic of Louie playing trumpet,
and you could even have a little light come up on. What was the character's name?
The little firefly.
Firefly
in the like a dome sky, have Evangeline and Raymond. Ray and Evangeline could be like two big dots.
Even have an animatronic thing of him at some point, lighting up, talking. You know, it'd be great.
But live music and even sing songs from the movie.
Yeah, yeah, you can have them. That would be fun.
That would be a fantastic attraction. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I know what's happening, and I get it right now. Oh, go ahead. You go ahead.
The question becomes then, all right, and he mentions Maelstrom, and I totally agree with Jim on this. Maelstrom was struggling. I enjoyed Maelstrom, and I don't know if Frozen necessarily fits at Epcot.
Yeah.
But I understand the reason, because Frozen was big.
Yeah.
And so putting in something like that would, yes, make a bigger draw than Maelstrom had. Last I heard, Splash Mountain is not struggling.
No.
It doesn't make sense to make the change from a business perspective. It only makes sense because of current events. And now Disney says that they've been working on this for a year. But, you know, we've had stuff within the past year with, I really don't want to get too much into stuff because...
Social things, yeah.
Because you tick off half the people no matter what you say.
Yeah.
I just want to look at the perspective. It doesn't make sense to take out something that is popular to replace it because you're afraid some people might be offended.
Well, in reality, you're going to offend, as you just said, you don't halfway offend someone anyway.
Yeah.
People are going to be offended by the changing of it.
Yeah. Well, they're not so much offended, but they're saddened by it.
Well, that's what I mean. That's the thing. Well, but that also...
Because there's people who are claiming to be offended by saying, well, the ride is just racist. How is the ride racist? Can you explain that to me?
What happens is... Usually by people who go through hearsay. But you mentioned You mentioned by Spike Lee a while ago.
Yeah, Spike Lee had never seen the movie and claimed it was racist.
Because he didn't know any better.
Most people don't know the writing has to do with the movie.
That's when someone doesn't know any better, the phrase is ignorant. Ignorant doesn't mean stupid. Ignorant
it just means you just don't
uneducated.
Know.
Uneducated.
Right.
But if you have been educated incorrectly and told that someone could tell you you're stupid. For instance, I use the word stupid. If someone told you you're stupid, they're incorrect. You're not stupid.
Yeah.
You're
But if that's if you heard that all the time all when you're a kid, you'd start to believe it.
Yeah, you start to believe it. I thought that.
I think there's a lot of stuff in our society that people get told and they start to believe it and they build prejudices even though they're not true.
Yeah, exactly. I was told that about myself. That was wrong. But you start to think it. For instance, the film, Song of the South, one of my all-time favorites. It came out until I was 10 years old. It was 1986, Christmas.
They put it out in theaters again.
And I saw it. My grandpa was one of his favorites. Now,
I remember watching it on TV.
I can completely understand where people would think that, especially if I happen to be black. I could understand that if people had told me that's what it meant. But I will tell you this. I was 4 years old. I remember seeing it at the theater. I was three. I was three, just getting ready to turn four. But I remember seeing it at the theater. In fact, that year, two movies came out that I remember seeing, and that was the first time I really remember seeing. I had seen them before, but it's the first time I really remember seeing black people. And one of them was because of Lando Calrissian, because that was the year that, it was 1980, it was the year that Empire Strikes Back came out. And the other one was Uncle Remus, and I loved Uncle Remus. He was like a hero to me because I have a big imagination, and I love stories.
Yeah, and he was a great mentor character.
Oh, yeah.
He was teaching moral lessons to two boys.
Yeah.
That was, I don't know that that had been done so much, that you had that much of a respected type character. That he was Yoda.
Yeah, he was.
He was Yoda. And I think the guy, actor's name was James Best. Am I correct? I'm looking it up right now.
No, James Best is from the Dukes of Hazzard.
Oh, that is the Dukes of Hazzard. Oh.
And Andy Griffith Show. He was on both.
Yeah, yeah. All right, let me.
But I can't remember what his name was right now. But I do know this, that as a kid, I always admired him. Admired him greatly.
Oh, I'm going to have to find. I'm on songofthesouth.net right now. I'm looking for the guy's name. But that actor, Walt pushed for him to be one of the first African-Americans to win an Oscar.
Mm.
And they gave him an honorary one.
Well, good. At least they gave him
They gave him an honorary. And the guy's performance is great. He has the voices of all the... Of Brer Fox, Brer Bear, Brer Rabbit. He did all those voices.
I love the way he talks. And they, whoa, what'd you say? He's so great.
The guy was so talented.
Yeah.
And Walt and pushed
all
for
the
that.
Singing. Hey, to this... Rather, Zippity-Doo-Dah is one of the biggest songs that of ever.
That is some serious Disney history. And to take that out of the park, that would be like taking When You Wish Upon a Star and say, we're never going to play that. We're not going to play it in front of the movies.
Yeah.
We can't have that anymore because it's offensive to crickets. I even heard, it was kind of fun, the Disney Story Origins podcast. It's like, if you listen to Geppetto in that movie, that's not an Italian-sounding accent. It's terrible.
Yeah.
It really is. So that'd be like, Pinocchio is now offensive. We can't do anything. Jiminy Cricket is now gone. We cannot have that song anywhere. That's kind of what they're doing.
In the film of Song of the South, I'll tell you this. When you really watch the film, first of all, know this. It is not pre-Civil War. It is post-Civil War, which means after. Also, when you watch
James
the film,
Basket. That's
James
why I was
Basket.
Confused.
Also, if you watch it, the film... One of the main characters in it that you don't see very much in the movie because he's only in the beginning and the end is the father of the young boy. And the father actually leaves the South to go out and talk against the people who speak of Southern things, saying that the race about racist things. So you don't see all that. They don't talk about it, but you know that's what he's saying. I didn't know it as a kid. I didn't know it until I was older. But the fact is that's what he's saying. He's talking against their own old beliefs. All the people, all the black people in that movie are not slaves.
Yeah.
They're not slaves.
They're sharecroppers.
They're sharecroppers and stuff.
Yeah.
And stuff. So,
and because of the fantasy that Walt Disney wanted to create, yeah, they're going to show where they're singing. And he got some of the best African-American at the time singers. That group that was singing in that movie, well, they were famous at the time. And Walt made even more, put it out there. He wanted them to sing some old spirituals that they used to sing. He brought that culture.
What about
everybody.
That wonderful woman who won an Academy Award for Gone with the Wind, who, by the way, is in that movie? In that movie. And now both of those films are being seen.
Yeah.
And
I've never gotten to see Gone with the Wind.
Oh, it's a good movie. She did great. And now she can't be seen on both of those. I can't think of her name right now, but I don't want to get it wrong. But
she actually, I think, did get one. Well, here we go. It's 1948. There it is. The Honorary Academy Award was presented to James Basket for his able and heartwarming characterization of Uncle Remus, friend and storyteller to the children of the world, and Walt Disney's Song of the South. 1948, that's when it was. But there's a whole thing on the songofthesouth.net about James Basket. I didn't know that he actually, because I understand some of the people being upset about Amos and Andy. Because you had some white people portraying black characters. I understand, I get that. But if you listen to the show, it is pretty funny. But James Basket actually, he met Freeman Godson of Amos and Andy and invited him to join the cast. So as James Basket was actually lawyer Gabby Gibson. And he got national reputation and roles in such B-rated movies as Harlem in Heaven, Straight to Heaven, Policy Man, Comes Midnight, and Revenge of the Zombies. Revenge of the Zombies. 1943.
That's a great.
So James Basket has a lot of pedigree, but he's so good in that movie.
Yeah, he's a great
but
actor.
Everybody is afraid of it now. So that Jim Corcus, who is afraid of Song of the South, available on Amazon. But that gives like a reputation that people want to throw onto that ride.
Yeah.
And so that seems to be the main driving force of changing it, but it doesn't make sense to change a popular ride into something that I mean, let's say the movie didn't really make money. Although I like the movie.
No, it me is too. A good I don't hate it. I love the villain, actually. He's a great Dr. villain. Yeah, Dr.
Vasilius. Oh, and his voice. The guy voices great.
Oh, I love that actor.
And I want to say right now, whatever Disney does change it, you know it's going to be a great ride.
Oh, sure.
Even when they change
tremendous,
it.
Tremendous.
Not going to say that this wouldn't make something wonderful
like
out of it.
Movie, yeah.
It will be a great ride if they change it, but it doesn't feel necessary to change what already is a great
ride.
And
it's not, I just got to say, as much as I do like Princess Bride, It was the...
You mean Princess and the Frog?
Did I say Princess Bride?
Princess Bride. You know what? Disney owns the Princess Bride. Can we get the Princess Bride in a Disney park? Heck yes, please.
Give me the Princess Bride ride. Princess the Frog was good. I like it. And yes, that was the very first African-American princess, and I'm sure that's one reason why it was so popular for some folks. But what I was going to say was, I do like that movie a lot.
Yeah.
However, it's not to the caliber, in my opinion, at least from my opinion, or even to sales, to the fact that the way it sold at the various times as Song of the South or some of the other great Disney classics. I still think it's good, but...
Yeah, I really enjoy it, but, you know, Ray made the movie for me. Ray was such a great character.
Well, I was going
to
say...
And we were even talking about this before. Tiana, I think she's a great role model character because she wants to work hard. She's got some lessons she needs to learn throughout the movie, but her work ethic and stuff is amazing.
Well, just 1 year later, they brought out a movie that outdid that movie as far as sales goes, and that is Tangled.
I love Tangled.
Yeah.
And you know what we get? We get a bathroom for Tangled. That's it.
That's what I'm saying.
Are you kidding me?
That's what I'm saying. It was,
granted, I would love to see it because it's the tower.
I'm talking about sales.
Yeah.
Sales alone.
Tangled is...
It shows you, and to this day, people still talk about that movie. So I'm just saying that, to me, I know that money isn't everything, but it shows you what people like. It shouldn't all be about social reasonings.
Yeah.
That's all.
It shouldn't, yeah. But, I don't know. Have we talked about this other Pixar movie coming? It's been moved to November 20th.
Oh, I
want
to see that.
Yeah, before we get into this, I think we mentioned Mulan getting moved.
Yes.
Speaking of good, you know, because we want some more Disney characters, Pixar characters of the African-American, here comes a great one. This looks great. There was a great trailer this week. Let's listen to the trailer. A new one just dropped even today, yesterday, before I record this. Soul.
Music moves people. I'm Joe. I teach middle school band. Music is life. You just need to know where to look.
Though we are parting ways, we shall come around to touch eyes again. If love is the foundation, if the purpose be to recycle life, I promise I'll bring us to one.
Spend your precious hours doing what will bring out the real you.
Love.
The brilliant, passionate you.
Love.
That's ready to contribute something meaningful into this world.
Love. God,
get ready.
Love.
Your life is about to start.
Now, this one doesn't show, like, what the main parts of the movie that they previously have shown where Joe, our main character, is going to die, and the adventures he has of showing a Tina Fey character how great it is to come to Earth. Because she's like, I don't want to go to Earth. I think it's wonderful here. But this one gets the feels, this trailer.
Sure.
With, like, family and the importance of music, and because he's a music teacher, and all, you know, like, he wants to play music for people, and you even get to see, like, generational, like, his grandpappy, grandpappy, teaching him some music, and then he passes it on to this little boy, which I figure is his son. I love the family aspect of showing. I love the music aspect. You want some good African-American characters, Soul's going to bring it this November.
And this
I am so excited.
And keep in mind, of course, now I tell you this because I'm a pastor. This is just fantasy. This is not a biblical thing.
Right,
I'm explaining this to you because I don't want people to come over this. Oh, this is what really happened. This is not a biblical thing. This is fantasy. But it's fun, and it's a good heart.
It's
a good heart.
And it's okay.
Great
heart to
this. Nothing wrong with that. But it's just going to be a good, fun fantasy. And it does look really good. And I
this
can't wait
so
to see
good.
It.
This looks so good. I'm excited.
Jamie
Foxx is playing Mr. Joe in here.
That looks really good.
Oh, I'm super
I love that
excited.
He's a teacher. That he's a,
yeah, and he's teaching music.
That looks fun.
Oh, I'm very excited for this movie.
I have good music teachers.
And I hope that maybe, you know, this maybe this will be a big one, because I
hope so.
Honestly, I feel like Pixar is making better movies than Disney is. Oh. Hate me if you want to, but I think Pixar has been better over the last few years than what Disney has put out. And when we take an let's take an example, Artemis Fowl.
I didn't get to see it.
I think it's worth watching once, but it was
foul.
It was okay. That's actually what we called last episode, Artemis Fowl. Now, of course, that's live action. Now, Disney animated. You know, I haven't seen Frozen 2, and I haven't bothered watching the making it because I haven't. Yeah, because it seems I might sit down and watch it because I have access to Disney Plus.
But right.
You know, some of the later Disney, you know, and I think there's still good movies. The Disney animation is still putting out good stuff, but Pixar is just making better movies and has been, I think, for a while. Pixar always, and even stuff that people are, you know, The Good Dinosaur, a lot of people didn't really care for that one. I really think it was good. It's very different. But Pixar always, to me, knocks it out of the park the way I think old school Disney did. And so, personally, I really like Pixar movies better. And so this, I hope this does sell well, and I would like to see Soul somehow or another being brought. And I think bringing it into the parks in the form of music would be perfect because from what we've got of this movie, music and family seems to be a good heart of this movie. I'd love some good music stuff from Soul popping up in the parks after this movie comes out.
I assume maybe in a, if nothing else, maybe in their little parade or something.
Oh, a Soul parade.
That sounds like...
March that down through New Orleans Square.
That would be awesome.
Over in Disneyland. Heck yeah. I bet that would go over like gangbusters.
Yeah, that'd be great.
You heard it first here, folks. Disney, if you're listening to me at all, man, I tell you what. Get a parade of Soul marching around. And they might even be working, because you know they're going to be having stuff in the parks for Soul. They'll be promoting the movie. But a parade, Soul-themed, just a little thing with some music style from Soul going through New Orleans.
Soul food.
Oh, goodness. That could be great. But, so, basically, we'll leave it, you know, tell me what you think. You know, with Splash Mountain, do you think it's a good idea to change it? I mean, not whether or not you'd be excited for Princess of the Frog, because I think we would be excited. Disney making anything Princess of the Frog, we're going to be excited because Disney's going to make something cool. It's just, should they change it from Splash Mountain or should they make something new? My personal thing would be a restaurant would be amazing.
Have it next to the ride.
Yeah, put it in New Orleans Square would be great because it would fit so well in there. So,
absolutely.
That's my personal opinion. I would prefer to see something that I feel fits the movie because they're going to have to try to come up with something to make Princess of the Frog fit what's already there, built for Splash Mountain to retheme. You're going to have to fit something. And it's going to be awkward, but they'll make something amazing. I always stress they're going to make something amazing. It's just unfortunate that they have to take out something that already is amazing.
Yeah, and it's unnecessary.
Yeah. So, but I think we better wrap this up. And being that next weekend is a holiday, I don't know if we'll put anything out. I'm starting to become more, we're bi-weekly. So it gives me a lot more time, I think, to put in some stuff for the show. We're kind of becoming bi-weekly with the releases. But the 4th of July, Independence Day, I hope you have a great one. Have a safe 4th of July. Make sure if you're the town you live in allows fireworks or not, you know, go somewhere, stay 6 feet apart, wear a mask, and blow stuff up. Go ahead. Whatever. But have fun. I hope everything that you want to do next week is open. But enjoy your holiday. Have a great time. Spend some time with family. And try not to lose any fingers. Because fireworks are awesome. But we got to be careful. Respect the fire. Respect the boom.
Have a good one.
Thank you for listening to the Neverland Podcast.
We invite you back next week for more fun and adventure.
Until then, remember to keep a pixie in your pocket.
It's that young at heart, positive attitude that you can share with others.
And remember to visit our website at neverlandpodcast.com.
There you can find links to our news page, our shop,
our contact page, where you can easily send an email to podcast@neverlandpodcast.com.
You can also find our Neverlanders page, where you can find out how to become an official Lost Boy or Pixie, because girls are too clever to get lost.
Become a real Neverlander.
Please feel free to leave us a voicemail at 816-226-6492.
And be sure to follow us on Twitter at NeverlandPCast.
And like our Neverland Podcast fan page on Facebook.
We also have a group on Facebook for you to join.
We also appreciate your support to keep the Neverland Podcast up and running.
Visit patreon.com/neverlandpodcast to donate to keeping the pixie dust alive.
Copyright content featured on the Neverland Podcast is copyright of their respective creators and used under fair use license.
All original content is copyright of Glue Band Productions
And a very special thanks to Yeehaw Bob Jackson at yeehawbob.com for our new ending music.
God bless.
Yeah! Hello, everybody. This is Yeehaw Bob Jackson. Neverland Podcast, we love you. Neverland Podcast, we love you. Neverland Podcast, it's true. Neverland Podcast, we love you.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.